Thank you everyone for attending, and I'd like to bring up to your attention a relatively new approach into application and especially prediction of biochar behavior once it was applied to soil. And just a quick summary before I start, we basically tried to run the application of biochar into a simulation model, a particular model called EPIC. And we were trying to see what impact it may do to the, we were trying to validate it against a given study and see if we get the similar results. And we were trying to do this because we are trying to suggest the biochar application as a potential adaptation strategy for the soil of U.S. Midwest region. There were no studies whatsoever of the application of biochar on the to the soils of U.S. Midwest region, except for one study, which was a column study. And basically, I just wanted to mention briefly the currently available agricultural adaptation strategies. These are taken directly from the most recent statement on climate change issued by Soil Science Society of America. We basically have four of them, which is not a lot. You know, it would be nice to have more, to have some more flexibility. As part of the literature reviews that I did and my colleagues helped me, we're suggesting the three potential adaptation strategies for the soil of U.S. Midwest regions. And they're application of biochar, which is a topic of this presentation, introduction of specific hybrids with a particular root and leaf architecture, and the third one is the basically compilation of the first two with a conservation tillage approach. And as I mentioned before, the one big problem that I dealt with is that the lack of existing of a full-scale field studies on the temperate soils, and majority of the studies that have been out there that have been published are looking into effects of biochar on the highly weathered soils such as oxisols. So we basically tried and took one of these long-term studies, which was carried out over 4 years, and we tried to see if we get the similar results, in EPIC, in our simulation model, and if we do, then it would give us some ground and some support in saying that maybe we can use this approach on the soils of U.S. Midwestern region. Just a few words about EPIC. EPIC stands for Environmental Policy Integrated Climate Model. It was originally created in 1984, and it was a tool to predict erosion. But since then, it will be soon 30 years since its existence, and this model has been enhanced with a lot of flexible and reliable tools, such as that you give it the information that it needs, such as like weather information, soil information, your operational techniques. You can pretty much predict accurately yields and the changes in soil properties, and also you can predict greenhouse gas emissions such as methane and nitrous oxide and of course CO2. And EPIC has been tested throughout the world, in China, throughout the United States and other countries, and it was pretty much agreed that this might be the best model so far out there. So here we had our two main hypotheses were that EPIC may do basically a good job into predicting change in soil properties and crop yields as a result of biochar application on highly weathered soils. And the second hypothesis is that it will probably favorably influence soil properties such as soil wall density, pH, CEC, and soil carbon dynamics. So we wanted, as I mentioned, we wanted to validate EPIC against existing study that I'll mention in a few seconds and test whether biochar may have the ability to influence the soil properties and influence nutrients and carbon dynamics in the soil. So we looked at the long-term effect of biochar application. We were wondering what will happen in 25 years. And then we wanted to draw a conclusion whether EPIC might be a good tool to employ in predicting biochar impact in to behavior of biochar on the soils of temperate regions. And here is a particular study that we chose. It was performed by Julie Major, and I believe she's a graduate student of Johannes Lehmann from Cornell University. They took, basically what they did, they took a particular, and here is the study location, and it will show up in the next slide. They basically tried to apply biochar into the oxisol soil, and they watched the results, the crop yields for the four consecutive years. And this is where it happened. This is the province where it happened, called Llanos Orientalis. The area is about 2 million hectares. This is the soil type and some of the soil properties. Here is the study location. And what they did, they applied 0, 8, and 20 tons of biochar, as well as NPK fertilizer, and observed the observed combined effect on corn yields in four consecutive years. And here are the results of our simulation. And the blue bars represent the study, and the red bars represent the result that we got from EPIC. So you see they're relatively close, except for the year 2006. We don't know what happened this year because yields really dropped drastically, and the authors didn't really report what was the cause. It wasn't the weather. Something happened, but we couldn't understand what. That's why I couldn't put it in the model, the conditions. That's why my yields were higher than they were significantly basically higher than the yields that were presented in the study. And on the long run, in 25 years, my yields would be pretty much the same with or without biochar. Which actually makes sense if you think about it, because with such a weather pattern, it rains approximately 27 days out of a month. The temperatures are about 90 degrees. You know, there is a lot of decomposition and mineralization going on, and if you don't subsequently provide your fertilizer, you may biochar alone may not be able to support the high enough grain yields. Here is what happened to bulk density. As we expected, the lowest bulk density was observed for the highest rate of biochar, 20 tons. You see that the drop was about approximately 20% in 20 years, which, and this is for the top 15 centimeter, top 15 centimeter of the topsoil. You also see that the carbon sequestration is greater for the 20 tons of biochar application. That's approximately 2% in 25 years. Which if you project it to the entire area of Llanos Orientalis, and if you make an assumption that farmers may employ application of biochar as part of their crop management and operational scenario, this will turn out to the sequestration of about 1 million ton of carbon per year. This is ideal scenario. There is no way all farmers will employ these techniques, but even if some of them do, the sequestration and carbon rates will be significant. Here, these graphs represent the drop in bulk density as a function of carbon content. So you see again that the highest bulk density was associated with lowest carbon percentages, and the lowest bulk densities were associated with the highest yield content. Carbon content. For cation exchange capacity, we saw that the initial soil CEC was 11 centimoles per kilogram, and when you apply biochar, it really goes up. And like in 25 years, you would see that your CEC of the soil would go to the point of about 184 centimoles per kilogram of soil, which is not bad. Well, but that's assuming that every 5 years you would apply 20 tons of biochar to your soil. Again, pH. These are the dots on the lower part of the graph are the pH results that were reported by the study, and this is what has been reported by EPIC. You see that they're not very close. We're still looking into this. We're still looking into discrepancy. But one thing for sure is that pH will rise to the point of 5.8 in 25 years. And considering that you start with 3.9, that's not bad. But this is again, this is for the top 15 centimeter of the soil. When you go deeper, the pH will drop. So basically, just a few words about conclusion briefly. Except for the year 2006, EPIC did satisfactory predicted grain yields. It also predicted that the bulk density would be about 20% lower in 25 years for the highest application of biochar rate. Carbon sequestration was greatest for the 20 tons of application for the rate of 20 tons application of biochar, and raised from initial 2.7 to 4.75% in less than 25 years. We also saw some increases in pH and cation exchange capacity. And as I said, if you project these the increases in carbon sequestration, this will turn to about like this number of megagrams per hectare per year. That this is the carbon that can be sequestered as a result of biochar application. And we also made a conclusion that EPIC did satisfactory and well good job into predicting biochar impact on soil carbon dynamics and soil properties, and it has a potential to be employed to predict the behavior of biochar once it will be applied to the soil of U.S. Midwest regions. With that, I thank you for your attention, and let me know if you have questions. Yes.
Prediction about the cation exchange capacity. You're predicting the values to go to whatever 100 something centimole per kilogram. Mm-hmm. Do you think they are realistic? And how do you think you can validate that sort of number?
They're obviously high. Yeah, but that. But we're starting with a biochar which has a CEC of 187 centimoles per kilogram. This is because we're not starting like with a typical biochar, you know, with a low CEC. You know, we are starting with a high CEC biochar, and this is like 15 centimeters. This is not the entire soil profile, you know. I know it's high, yeah. But we developed an algorithm to predict the based on the logistic curve. Like, depending on your soil pH, if you start with 3.9, there will be a lot of buffering, you know. We consider all that, you know, like, and I know it sounds like high, but we double-checked, and we are pretty sure these are the accurate results.
So my second question is, how do you prepare that 100-something centimoles biochar?
I don't know how they prepared it. I took it from the study. I mean, this is the value that was reported in the study. Yeah, I don't know how they did it, you know. Yes.
So your model assumes that there is continual application of the biochar, right? So every year they add 20
No, every 5 years.
Every five
years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you repeat it? Tillage system?
Yeah.
Oh, they would, so basically on December 2nd they would apply the biochar to the depth of 15 centimeters, and then it would sit there for like for about 4 months until early April, and then they would basically seed the plants, seed the corn. You know, and this is pretty much the tillage approach that they had. They never reported anything about killing weeds or doing other like pesticides. So we never really entered that information into the model.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.